an abbreviated version of the Tuesday Talk Show, getting started just a little bit late this morning. Number to call is 541-472-1270, as we welcome our guest, who's been a little busy the last three or four days. Public Works Director for the Josephine County, Rob Brandis. All right, Rob, where can we drive and where not?
We've got just about everything open this morning, but we are going to be cleaning
up. Can you move a little closer?
Yep. Yeah, we're pretty well cleaned up as of this morning. We've got a few unofficially closed roads that we're encouraging folks to avoid. So kind of the Galise from west of Merlin up to Lower Wolf and Lower Graves got a lot of issues still. Rock still coming down, some washouts, specifically the Rainbow area. There's a culvert there that overtops. So asking them to avoid that area. And a smaller road up in Merlin area, Livingston, has a couple of culverts that scoured significantly. So we're closing that to local access. But everything else, fingers crossed, we're open, but now it's 2 or 3 months of cleanup.
2 or 3 months of cleanup. First of all, those roads that are closed right now, is that 2 or 3 months of cleanup, or will those be open within a short period?
I suspect we'll get that Galise, Lower Wolf, Lower Grave loop, more passable within the next week or so. A lot of that's just going to be, healing things off the road there. Livingston, I'm going to get back today, and we're making an assessment as to how deep we go with that initial fix, and if it's a matter of pulling it out. It's a pretty good size pair of culverts that are about 10 feet below road surface. So it might be a Band-Aid now and a full replacement in the next couple months.
All right. Can you take me through what has happened since the beginning of this incident from last weekend through today? I assume that you've been fairly busy during that time.
That was a wild one with really no snow melt to speak of, just an unbelievable amount of rain. Most I've seen in my life here. Things started ramping up Sunday morning as the rain was at 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. seemed to be the time when it was the worst. And the phones started going off. We had crews out by mid-morning. And at that point, really all you're doing is putting up high water signs, assisting if it needs be. We had a couple of folks to extract out of vehicles. But really, if you've got a culvert that's built to carry, say a foot of water and there's 2 feet of water, you can't put in a bigger culvert at the time. So it's really just trying to protect the assets you've got and make sure there's no plugs and then just keep citizens safe from, high water areas.
All right. How much warning did you have that this was coming in, Rob?
They've been talking about the atmospheric river coming that weekend, right? And I think we all kind of hoped a bit. Well, the ground's not completely saturated. There's not a ton of snow. But I know at my house, we had 3.5 inches of rain in 30 hours. And we size all of our culverts generally for a 25-year event, as we call it. I don't know if they've pegged that yet, but that's the most I've seen in my lifetime here. Was it a 50-year event?
So this was certainly 25-year and if not more. I don't think I've ever seen anything quite like it.
Mm-hmm. And that's always the balance. If there was new projects that were going in and we told the developers, hey, put in a culvert that'll take a 500-year flood, well, it would quadruple the cost. So there's a tough balance there to say, hey, what's enough to account for almost everything? But when you have an event like that, there's just nowhere for the water to go eventually.
All right. What about your facilities and your staffing? Did you need more? Was what you had adequate to what you had to handle?
For the initial response, like I said, there's not a whole lot you could do. We had all of our high water signs were, I think, out by about 2 p.m. We could have had 500 high water signs and probably put them all out. The next few months will be the strain. So, we'll get everything taken care of, but every day that we've extra day that we've got a crew that's doing shoulder work, that's a day away from what would be our normal maintenance routine. So, yeah, we'll be playing catch up for a while.
All right. In terms of this atmospheric river, we heard that it was coming in, but we didn't expect anything like this. Mm-hmm. What does this do for future planning for your department?
There's culverts that are known issues. It's funny. One of the ones we're going to have trouble with was out on Jean Brown Road in the Valley, and we actually had that thing. It's fully designed. We had permits in place to replace it this summer, and we haven't been able to completely see it because the water hasn't receded enough, but that thing might have popped out of the ground. So it kind of underscored our concern there.
So you may be moving quicker on that one.
Exactly. But we've got drainage plans, and they do dictate a lot of what we do that'll say, hey, in the Redwood area, can you upsize this culvert to 48-inch? And it just becomes a balance as to, all right, how much money do we have to replace what when? But it does really underscore, as we further develop, there's more hard surface. There's less places for the water to soak into the soil, so it becomes more channelized. So it's really just trying to identify those areas where there's going to be more water with more velocity that's going to do damage.
You face some challenges in the coming months then, just from this.
Absolutely.
You said could be a 3-month cleanup from this. What's this costing the county? And is there enough money to take care of it?
Sure. I think our back of the napkin initial estimate is going to be $250,000 best case. I'm guessing it'll be more like $500,000, $600,000. I'm hesitating only because a couple of those big culverts can really move the needle a lot, but I'm sure just on shoulder repair and re-ditching and all that, it'll be a couple hundred thousand dollars. I did hear late yesterday in talking with ODOT, it sounds like we will reach the declaration threshold, so there could potentially be state and federal help there. They had a number of huge slides up in there in the Northern District there, and we're all part of a larger pool that they look at to say, hey, is there enough damage in that area? So if that's the case, yeah, we will track every project we can and fight to get back every dollar. But we do have reserve funding specifically intended for things like this.
All right, in a county that's already strapped for funds, this could be pretty difficult. And you say you've got enough reserves right now to take care of this situation.
Mm-hmm. We do. And, our annual budget's about $9.5 million. And we have about an additional $9 million in our reserves, which sounds like a lot of money. But, yeah, when you have an incident like that where you blow through probably $500,000 in a one-day event, it can go somewhat quickly. We need to be aware of things like Cascadia that we could have 10 times that and it wouldn't be enough. But the shorter term impact of, say, this is $500,000 event, that, put it in chip seal terms, that's 12 miles less chip seal we'll be able to do in the future, theoretically. So it does have a cost to it. Every storm, it gets expensive eventually.
All right. Are you up to speed on everything that's happened right now? Are there areas that you're not familiar with that you might not know about? And if so, how do people reach out to you?
There certainly could be. We had a perfect example late Sunday night on Leonard there, just west of the elementary school. There was a bunch of scour under the lane, and you wouldn't see it driving by. Unfortunately, a citizen noticed it, and they actually stayed put, posted up, and got people driving around that. But it absolutely could have led to a collapse where a car ends up in a hole right there. So there certainly could be those out. We've got all of our guys out patrolling, even stole a few of our engineering guys that are out patrolling with operations as well today. But I have no doubt, we will uncover more as the water fully resides.
All right. If I'm a citizen out there and I see something like that, what's my first step?
Yeah, please do.
Avoid and be safe,
right,
first of all.
Right. Yeah, and don't try to play hero or put up cones or anything else. If you saw an urgent hazard and you're okay sitting there with your flashers on and your car parked, sure, that's great. But more importantly, just call our office and we will get somebody out there to put eyes on it and assess it and get it in the queue with all the rest of them.
In the queue. My next question was, how long is that queue? And I don't think you have an answer for that yet.
Right. We don't. Phone's still ringing pretty steadily. And, it's a matter of triaging it. I don't want to belittle anybody's individual problem, but there's certainly an amount of, my driveway is the most important. So we do have to take a look at what's the further scope of what's going on there? Is that just a matter of somebody needs to come scrape some mud off, or is there actually an ongoing problem that's going to get more expensive if we don't deal with it? So there's certainly a balance as to what the current urgency is versus the long-term cost to not get at it.
Number to call?
474-5460.
All right. And again?
474-5460.
In radio, you need to do that three times.
Three times. Yeah, right. Public Works, 474-5460.
Okay, 5460. So your phone's been ringing. When did you first really get an indication? And I know you had the forecast.
Right.
And was it Sunday morning that things really began to come together?
I think it was. And I think with an event like that, it seems like 50 miles one way or another makes a huge difference. From what I've heard, Medford had about an inch downtown. But then if you go north to Drain and Myrtle Creek and some of those places, they got it far worse than we did. But yeah, about Sunday morning, and I woke up and there was already an inch and a quarter on the ground and it was just pounding. And I don't know. If you've lived here long enough, you kind of get that raising the back of your neck.
That's pretty hard out there. Yeah.
Yep. So, and it's just exponential then too. Once it gets to that stage and you get that first call, you've seen enough of these, you'd kind of say, this is a little different than a typical storm.
Yeah. With that atmospheric river coming in, pre-planning, and I know you were looking for a 25-year, probably got a 50-year event here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Did you have resources in place?
We did. I mean, the best we can really do is have our preparation in the months leading up to that. So we've got an active ditching program all fall and winter long. So to make sure all of our culverts are clean, that there's not a wad of leaves or trees or
something. So this is an ongoing preparation.
Yep, exactly. Yeah, if it's the weekend before, there's not a whole lot you're going to do. I mean, we could pre-stage high water signs at the known problem areas. But really, it's a matter of taking care of that stuff year-round. It's too late to fix by the time you see it. It's like a leak in your roof that's already hitting the floor. It's probably too late, so really that preparation leading up to it.
What about getting personnel on board?
We when we see one like that coming, our operations guys will start talking to the guys as they come in. On this case, you know, it would have been a Friday afternoon, to say, hey, are you available this weekend, or are you around? So they've got that list ready to go. And, you know, we'll have a handful of guys that are either on vacation or out of town, just can't make it. But they've got that list ready to go and start making calls as soon as it hits the proverbial fan Sunday morning.
All right. Are you happy with your response?
I am. We've got a younger crew than we have in the past, but we've also got a lot of guys that are eager to learn. For some of them, this was their first time around the block. That's usually a little bit eye-opening. We've had a couple of smaller snow events, but the first time when you really get to that stage that it feels like everything is blowing up at once, I thought the guys did admirably well.
Enough equipment?
I'd love to have about three more vacuoles and a couple of graders. I don't know if we'd have enough guys to operate them, but yeah, we've got enough to pick at it now for the next couple months.
All right. You're listening to Rob Brandis, the director of Public Works for Josephine County, and we'll continue right after this word.
Life Pros, you know, they may be wizards.
Welcome back. Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Number to call, 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guest, Josephine County's Public Works Director, Rob Brandis, is with us. And, of course, we've been talking about the weekend incident here that has had him really busy and jumping through a lot of hoops here. And we certainly appreciate your time this morning. I know we were a little late this morning. Quite frankly, I wasn't surprised because I figured you were jumping through a lot of hoops. But we had you confirmed for this since, I think, last a week ago, Tuesday, anyway, to appear here. What do people need to know about your department now that everybody is out there working and probably 3 months behind on repairs that you're going to be facing?
Sure.
What do people need to know about Josephine County Public Works?
Sure. I think, to your point earlier, you know, we do have funding specifically for incidents like this. And you cannot put enough of a price on the pre-planning. So throughout the year, there'll be times where you might say, man, what are they doing out there? There's nothing perceptible that I can see. What are they working on? And, you know, in a case of prepping for something like this, you know, if our ditching crew is out there, they're not only pulling that ditch to get it back to a shape that's going to move the most water. If it's outside of a culvert where it's eroding, we're going to be rearmoring it. So that's putting 6 to 12-inch rock on that outfall. So when something like this hits, it doesn't scour away and make it more a tougher fix later on. You know, the ounce of prevention, pound of cure, really does go a long way in our department, because if you just have one large-scale failure like that, it could cost, you know, 5, 10, 20 times more than having done it right correctly. The two culverts that I mentioned that we're going to have to deal with up on Livingston, they were probably extended 40 or 50 years ago, and as the water scoured out, it was apparent that two smaller culverts had been jammed into a larger culvert on either end, which worked okay for 30 or 40 years, but once the water got high enough and found that 2-inch seam at the top of that bigger culvert, it just starts washing machine effect in there. So again, 40 years ago, if somebody had attached that correctly, we probably wouldn't have had the issue there.
If this was, in fact, a 50-year event, which it certainly looks like it was, yeah, will that change any of your plans going forward?
Largely no, because as I mentioned earlier, it just gets exponentially more expensive to put in a larger pipe. And, you know, every agency wrestles with this as to how far you oversize it. And the hard surfaces that I mentioned really gets difficult the closer you get to town. So while you're putting in this pipe, you might say, that looks way too big for now. You got to be thinking, what does it look like to have when every single house is built on that block? How much water is eventually going to be shunting down that drainage? So for the county's case, we look at it on a bigger drainage perspective. What would this, you know, 600 acres, how much water could come off of that down into that canal? That's how we try to gauge what we're sizing things by. It's still not going to be a 500-year event, but can we catch a 50-year event? That would be a goal.
All that being said, with the county and the situation it's in, and I'm talking about financially,
yep,
that's top to bottom.
Yep.
It's tight right now, and I know there have been cuts on all departments. Mm-hmm. How have you fared with this current budget?
Our budget is largely unchanged because the bulk of it is coming from the state highway funds. So that's your gas tax, your weight mileage fees, vehicle titling, that sort of thing. So that funding is pretty stable at around $9 million. It varies a bit with the price of gas, but that part is pretty stable. We do get a nominal amount from the old secure rural schools, and then we get a bit of surface transportation money. So our budget is pretty stable at about $10 million, and we're right around 60 full-time equivalents, which is where we've historically been. That allows us to get through our annual maintenance program, you know, 30-ish miles of chip sealing. We do have some marks that we try to get to for ditching, vegetation management, those sorts of things. But fingers crossed right now, I'm pretty happy with where we're at. Our fleet is in generally good shape. We've modernized it for sure the last 5 or 10 years. So, you know, all things considered, I don't want to say we're in better shape than the rest of the county, but the reality is we're fortunate to have a stable funding source that we're able to put back onto the roads to keep them safe and operable.
stable seems to be the operating word there right now. So very little of the funding for public works comes out of the general fund or out of the tax base?
We get $0 from property taxes, zero from the general fund, almost exclusively when you go fill up your car or retitle it.
Okay. All right. So it's your fault when I go back to retitle it.
Okay. Right. Yes. That's ODOT. That's the DMV. Something separate.
Okay. All right.
But make sure you title it. We'll take that $100 and our percentage of it.
Yeah, certainly, certainly. And you're welcome, as a matter of fact. Now, with your department moving ahead, you've got about a three-month cleanup here. Is there any way to get ahead of that?
There's really not. It's a lot of it is just out there grinding type work. So it's, you know, our ditching crew, for example, that's a 13-man operation. It's got, you know, a lot of large pieces of equipment, and there's really no quicker way to do that. You know, you have to have two graders there that are pulling that ditch out. We've got a berm loader that then dumps that into four or five dump trucks that are cycling that dirt, taking it out of there. You've got a couple of pilot cars helping people get through that zone. There's just not a magic or quicker way to skin that cat. And that's the reality of everything we do. You know, if there was a way to suddenly chip seal 20% more effectively or cheaply, sure, we'd be doing it, but most of these methods are pretty tried and true, and haven't found a quicker or more effective way to do them than just grinding them out.
Rob, I hate to say this, but the rain comes back tomorrow.
Hopefully we've all the culverts should be fully flushed. That's the best I can come up with.
All right. There's no mention of an atmospheric river, but looking at that forecast, does that concern you? Or are you preparing for anything extra?
It looks like everything's come down enough to where we're not going to see anything on the scope that we did Sunday. But yeah, the job for this week too is to identify anything that's close to having another issue. If there are things that are plugged, get the VACOL out there and deal with those, because the VACOL can get out there and flush a culvert for under $1,000. If that culvert pops and lifts out of the ground, it could be 10 or 20 times that. So yeah, looking for those emergent things that could get more difficult if the weather does turn out to be more on the atmospheric river.
All right. So are you on the hot seat there, triaging what needs to be done?
It's a discussion with our operations guys and myself. The sheriff plays into that as well. They've got, you know, plenty of eyes out in the field, and then our engineering folks, if it's going to be then, all right, is this a replace or a repair type situation with some of the larger structures?
What about communication during an event like last Sunday? You mentioned the sheriff's office. I know Rural Metro is heavily involved, certainly out in the county. How are those communication lines set up?
It's typically a matter of we did not get to the stage of having a emergency operations center open, so it's primarily me and my four road superintendent and the three supervisors in contact. They're getting constant information from the sheriffs as they're out in the field, and then when our guys are out patrolling, they're calling back to the shop at all the times saying, hey, here's what we're seeing out there. We literally have the old school whiteboard that's got everybody's name and the equipment that we move pieces around on the board to say, hey, here's where so-and-so's going to, here's where so-and-so's going to. But yeah, it's an all hands on deck. And then, you know, the CB-style radio that all the guys are communicating back to the shop. But there's a lot of information flowing quickly when the situation gets like that.
Is it efficient or could it be improved?
I think it's fairly efficient. The toughest part, honestly, is for the sheriffs. They're going to get more citizen calls directly to them. And without that road background at times, I think it's tougher for them to assess to say, hey, how urgent truly is this? Because everybody's convinced their driveway is washing out, and if we don't deal with this, I'm going to get stranded. Almost never the case, but the sheriffs have an obligation to take that call and, you know, relay that concern to us. We then triage to say, all right, here's what we're going to do.
All right. So actually, the 911 calls probably are the ones that are overwhelming a system that could use some help. And we all know the sheriff's office could always, all law enforcement locally needs some additional assistance.
Absolutely.
But in terms of getting the information back to you, you seem to be handling it pretty well.
It's pretty effective, yeah. And we've got a cost accounting system that'll take, you know, maintenance reports. So as those calls are coming in, we're typing them up as a work order effectively. Those get sent back and again, triage to say, hey, here's where we're going. Try to attack them efficiently, because there's no reason to scramble out to the middle of nowhere on Lower Grave Creek unless there, you know, if there's three things we can stack on the way there. That's what we try to do. So we've got a trap run getting out there to not, you know, waste guys' time's going out and back, out and back.
All right. You're listening to Rob Redd as the Public Works Director for Josephine County, and we'll continue right after this word. Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday talk show concluding here. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes left with the Public Works Director for Josephine County, Rob Brandes, who's had a busy 2 or 3 days and a busy week just ahead of him here yet. So, Rob, first of all, what lies ahead just immediately for your department, and what do people need to take away from today's program?
Sure. I think the biggies are going to be that I mentioned that Livingston Drive is number one on our priority list. finishing off a few patrol areas, Winona, Abeg, some of those roads in the northern county to make sure that everything's stable, because the worst case scenario is, you know, get everything cleaned off, assume it's good, got more rock that comes down the hill. I don't think you're going to have water issues at this point, but you could have, you know, landslides, mud coming down, trees coming down, those sorts of things. So identifying any imminent hazards that are there that could happen regardless if it rains or not. And then longer term, hoping for it to dry out and we're just going to be hammering away. I'm guessing we will send some of that stuff out for outside work because we're just not going to be able to get to all of it. So we will probably be looking at some local contractors to do some of the bigger culvert work just so we're not pulled off all that maintenance and getting things cleaned up on the other areas.
All right. If I'm one of those contractors out there, do I need to contact you or do you have a list?
We'll be reaching out to them.
You'll be reaching out.
Yep.
Okay. Now, what do people really need to know overall about your department?
I think hopefully this is an event like this is hopefully the takeaway for folks. Which it gets easy to say, hey.
You're in the spotlight right now.
Exactly. Yeah. Yep. And it's easy to drive by a dump truck or somebody flagging and saying, I don't really see the use for what they're doing. But when with an event like this comes across, and you see us afterwards cleaning up and even during it to say, all right, that's the need for that public backbone, because we've all put into this system and this fund to have the ability to maintain our roads, to keep them safe so folks can get where they need to get. And when you have a larger storm event, how you respond to that is pretty telling to the citizens. And I want them to see, hey, our guys take pride in what they're doing. They have a lot of care in what they do. So for them to see a good product that we feel like is done pretty affordably when you compare us with other states. Our overall transportation costs are pretty dang low. And I think generally our roads are in great shape. Not as good as they were a week ago, but we'll get them back there soon enough.
Okay. And once again, if I need your help, what number do I call?
Absolutely. Public Works is 474-5460.
474-5460. All right,
yes,
that's twice. One more time.
474-5460.
That's the third time. Rob, thank you very much. I know you need to get back to your men out there. Thank you for your time this morning.
Absolutely glad I could do it, Chuck.
All right. Rob Brandis, the Public Works Director for Josephine County's Public Works, and we'll continue in just a moment.